Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Red Men Podcast this week. I am Paul Machen, I'm joined by Sam Walker and Dan Club for this one. Loads of bits and pieces to kind of talk about, basically because we are between Brentford and what may or may not be a second leg League Cup game against Arsenal. We're going to be doing the build-up show as well later on. Maybe completely for no reason whatsoever, because my God, I did that the other week when I did a build-up show for a game that never happened. But yeah, we're going to be talking about, we're going to kick off question that discusses Roberto Firmino's future. We're going to be talking a little bit on Brentford, a game from the weekend, Liverpool's leaked home kit, and the results of the FIFA Best Awards and the World 11, which once again left Mo Salah out in the cold. Let's just dive into it then. We've got Ian Young, our good friend Ian Young, with a question here saying, does Firmino get a contract extension? It's a mad one, this, isn't it, Dan? You know, everyone's so focused on Mohamed Salah, and this isn't even mentioning Sadio Mane being in a similar boat, and there's a couple of lads in that boat as well. Yeah, Bobby Firmino, almost the forgotten man in some regards when it comes to contracts.
He is, and it's not much of a surprise. Obviously, like I say, Salah takes the majority of the focus, and then you'd imagine it would be Mane next in that pecking order, and then Firmino would almost be an afterthought. I know there's been some links with interest in him this week, so it's a difficult one. I think I'd love to see him get a new contract. I'd also understand if they didn't do it, because, like I say, Salah looks like he's going to take up the main focus and probably a hell of a lot of the wage chunk in terms of the budget. So Firmino could be the fall guy in all of this. The club should probably look to secure their position on him in terms of getting money. But, you know, 18 months to go, expires the end of next season. This summer could be a really pivotal one for him, and the club might just cash in.
Yeah, it feels to me like Liverpool have got a number of like a mind map all sketched out of what process to follow. A bit like when you work in a call centre and it tells you like how to deal with certain calls. Yeah. Go down the street or whatever. And it's like, does Mohamed Salah want a new contract? Yes. Yeah. How much money does he want? X amount. Sign it now. Above all, can we afford it? No. Okay, what does that mean? I think Roberto Firmino's contract, and possibly it's even beneath the agreement of a Mane one, is somewhere down that sort of tree. He's clearly not going to be first and foremost, and I wonder whether it's a case of, if you can't get Salah tied down, does that then trigger right, we'll just go and get Bobby Firmino and Mane nailed down, or something a bit more creative
to give that stability. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we've sat here, we've said this for years now, haven't we? But I think about last year, we thought we might lose one of the front three for the next three summers, and we didn't lose one last summer. So you would imagine that that's probably still going to happen, but maybe it's rolling forward. Mm-hmm. And maybe Salah's now put himself from maybe the front of the queue to get the big bucks to the back of the queue, because if he signs this new deal.
Yeah,
I personally think we won't give Bobby a new deal, but I don't think we'll sell him in the summer.
Okay,
I just feel that the value in is probably to keep him, and you might see if you can get him on a snip next year. You know, well, you're 31 now, or nearly 31, Bobby. I think he is 30 already.
He's 30 now.
He'll be 31. You know, could you do a little 2-year extension on X amount of money? And he's not really going to be one of the most sought after players in world football, because his numbers don't really do his performances justice. Mm-hmm. I think Mane's probably still got quite a high sell-on value because his fitness, he still gets good numbers. So when you put all that into it, because I do believe you're right, they're probably all connected. I'm not sure Salah and Bobby are. I think they're so poles apart in terms of what they deliver on a weekly basis now, that I think Bobby's probably the one who has dropped the furthest. So I think we probably keep him and see what happens, because you're going to lose less.
There's obviously been rumours this week, which you alluded to there, Dan, that we might look to move him on. There's been a bit of, like, he's been offered to Barcelona for £15 to £20 million in the summer. And they're the kind of club where I think, because they're still going to be scraping around wildly, just trying to get players who are that balance of, can we actually afford to them and therefore can actually register them as footballers, but also having a little bit of they're not being crap because they've gone down. I mean, like Luke de Jong and Memphis Depay. I know everyone's gone wild for Memphis Depay for a bit, but there's a reason why he's still, people still think he's 21 and he's not because he's never been able to truly fulfil the potential. You could see there maybe being a route there for Barcelona because, again, at that price, you might find some takers on him. Mm-hmm. But I could see a world where they just go a bit of Gini Wijnaldum. There's more value to it. There's £20 million in value to Liverpool to just have him for one more season than to sell him and have to replace him in the squad.
I get that. I think a lot of that depends on what Liverpool want to do in the summer in terms of incomings as well, because we're notorious for being a sell to buy club. So 20 million could be the tipping point between what we do and don't do. You know, that's how sort of stringent this board has been.
Yeah.
So I completely get the Barcelona link. And I think they've also got to replace Aguero, who's had to retire recently. So replacing him with Firmino would make a lot of sense from their point of view. And let's be honest, he's miles better than Luke de Jong.
Yeah.
I love Bobby Firmino, I always have. But it's a difficult one from Liverpool perspective now, because obviously we talk about the contract and the financial situation. But also, if we're going to be brutally honest, his squad role has taken a step back as well, because we spoke about it previously in here. For me, Jota's overtook him now, which is saying something, because like I've already alluded to, Bobby Firmino is one of my favourite Liverpool players over the past few years.
Yeah.
But you can't ignore Jota anymore. So Firmino might be thinking, oh, my place isn't exactly nailed on as it was. We all know we need to revolutionise this front line somehow with a signing. This could be the summer it happens.
Yeah, it's a fascinating approach for Liverpool, really, and what they do next. And I say, Mane, what happens with Mane? He's going to play a pivotal part in this as well. But the issue is, because we do this a lot, and we're like, well, we need to do that. Jota's come in. Jota's usurped them. So let's get rid of the old guy. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Firmino's playing at the moment, you know, and I know in an ideal world he doesn't, but also there ends up being the same. We're having this argument because there's not enough squad depth. And yet we'd all sit here in some way or another and either go, let his contract run down or sell him.
Yeah.
And yet what we want is as much quality as possible. I've got no problem depending. I don't see how Bobby Firmino loses anything. I don't see how he's not the same player. Fitness notwithstanding, he's got no pace to lose.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be a worse footballer in 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time. But it's whether you want to evolve what you're trying to do on the pitch. And that's the one thing we've seen in January so far. And it's unfair to judge him because he's been out with injury, Sam. You could do with another lad to play wide rather than another lad to play through the middle, because we've got a ton of lads who can play through the middle. But we could really do with someone who's got loads of pace to burn, who can play on the right-hand side or on the left-hand side.
It was a similar argument to, you know, we all wanted to bring somebody else in the forward line during the summer. You know, that was on our wish list. Mm-hmm. But it's in the same way, it's very difficult to bring somebody in and say, you're probably not going to play that much because our forwards are machines. But in January, you'll get loads of football. It's very difficult to persuade someone and pay them the right amount of money for that squad role, which is why we've got Minamino and Origi, which we all agree on. It's the same with Bobby. But the other way round, come the summer, because he ain't going nowhere now, come the summer, it's his, let's have a look at your wages. I've no idea what he's on, by the way, something probably between 100 and 200 grand a week, whatever that may be. Is your squad role the same value as what we're paying you per week? So if we're paying you 160 grand a week at Liverpool Football Club,
you should be the best if
you
not,
should be playing minutes every game, and your output should be at least this, or your, you know, the stats that they look at or data should be that. And that's where they're going to have to make a decision, because it may well be that they go, well, it's not. Therefore, we'd be better off paying someone 70 grand we bring in from Lille or whatever to learn to be you. But we've still got Jota, Mane, Salah and whoever else. You know what I mean? So it's that balance, isn't it? You know, Liverpool fans will just say, oh, sign him up or you know, let his contract run out. But it's these little things that could be the difference to us in reinvesting in the summer.
That's it,
I think it's definitely an interesting point. And it's the biggest challenge that faces Liverpool's management team in the next 6 months, well, 18 months really, isn't it, is figuring out what you do next. Because Liverpool have in my time of following the club, and therefore your guys' time of following the club, we've never actually had to maintain a position of dominance before. I've got no idea what that looks like because I've no idea. I've never seen us get to the top before, and that was fascinating to see how that all unfolded. We've heard the stories, we've seen bits of, you think about like Liverpool refreshing things after 81, where they start to change, they start to make changes to the back line and all that kind of stuff, and change the Liverpool team. Liverpool have had to go through that again when Kenny comes in and he brings Barnes, Beardsley, Aldridge in, and he manages to refresh the thing. Liverpool are trying to do that, but it's also, I keep referring to like that the Last Dance documentary, where there's also a point where it's like you've got a bunch of lads who are all the best. Because there's so many around that age category as well. I think that fear is that's the spot on fear. And I think this is where FSG's input comes into this, is that they took over when Gerrard and Carragher, who were reaching the point of their careers where you weren't getting value for money out of them, and they had Pepe Reina, big wage, and not getting value. There was a ton of players in that squad, and that was a nightmare 3 or 4 years of trying to clear all them out. You've got to find people to take them when they're on those high wages as well. And how you reboot. So it's a tricky one, very tricky one. But so just to clarify, no, you would not. No one would renew Bobby Firmino's contract.
No, I wouldn't.
It's a on hold situation.
You fucking soulless.
It's really difficult, but like I say, from a club perspective, it might be the best bet.
I'd be interested to see in the summer, because I think it's a good point. I think there's one way you can run it down a bit, and I say worst case scenario is you get one more year out of him, and he plays for that year, and he goes with everyone's well wishes at the end.
How many years has he been here? 7, 8, and he'll have done it for £29 million. Like, I like me footy finance, and from what they do, they'll be like, thank you, Bobby. You know what I mean? It's like Lallana. Yeah. Thank you. You know what I mean?
That's a good point in terms of how player contracts and player amortization works and all that kind of stuff, is that you've made your money. You've got all your money out of Roberto Firmino down the line, but there is a point where maybe you do, in a year's time from now, you know, he's coming toward the end of that contract, and you go, do you really want to go and play for Barcelona? Do you really want to go and play for what are the offers on the table? Or you can accept a reduced role at Liverpool on same or slightly reduced wages. Because I think he's one of the examples where he is very incentivised. He's got a lower basic.
Yeah.
He's like a British Gas knock on the door salesman, basically. Very low basic wage. And I did that job. It's horrendous. very high incentive based. So he might be one that they are able to come to a deal on stuff. We had a really funny super chat in here, a little bit kind of not really exactly what we're talking about, but Connor S says, feel like we're the competitor of Lance Armstrong and everyone is complaining why we aren't as good as Lance. And nobody is getting the irony. That's exactly, if you want a perfect summation of Liverpool's season, people go, Liverpool aren't doing great. There was a great tweet, I might have to dig it out, about like how many points Liverpool got at this point of the season compared to some of the great sides in Premier League and Liverpool history, and were either, if not very, very, very close to, miles better than. Yeah. But there is that, there's a weird perspective floating around at the moment where it feels like Liverpool are crap when they are, not. They're very, very good indeed. Right, we are going to be talking about a little bit on Brentford, on the kit, and the FIFA Best Awards after this very, very short break indeed.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. Hopefully you are enjoying this podcast. Just want to let you guys know, if you want even more Red Men TV goodness in your ears, every single show that we produce over on our subscription service, Red Men Plus, also comes in podcast format. So you can get all of our amazing content on the go. Hopefully you enjoyed that one, and hopefully you enjoyed the rest of the show.
Brentford, Dan. I was saying when we did the final word show on Monday that it was a weird game because there was a lot riding on it, I think, emotionally for all of us, because we've been in a bit of a slump. And I was also saying I took my son for the first time, so I felt a bit responsible for his happiness and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
One thing coming away from it, what was so pleasing about it was how run-of-the-mill it became. And that's mad to say, because, you know, we could have won that 4 or 5.
Yeah.
The one thing I thought that's maybe not being taught enough about, because I think there's been a lot of praise for Curtis Jones' performance and Oxlade-Chamberlain and being able to just get the goals. It was interesting that not only was it the same back five with the goalie, but actually the same midfield three as well that played away at Brentford. And it felt very much like Jürgen had gone, right, lads, let's go, let's all sit down. Let's go and watch the shit show that was Brentford away again. tell me what you did wrong, and tell me how you're going to go and put it right.
Yeah, there was definitely lessons learned, wasn't there? Which is something I spoke about in the build-up to the game, Maxi, because that's what it felt like we had to do. Because if we let them into the game like we did at their place, you know, we seen they were dangerous. They like to make it physical, they're aggressive, they dominate in the air. I thought Trent had a particularly difficult game back at their place, honestly. They doubled up on him, tripled up on him at times, and he had no chance, let's be honest about it. So that was something that Henderson had to cover for, and I think he did that a lot better on the weekend. So, yeah, it was a much-improved performance, wasn't it? We controlled it. We didn't really give them a sniff. I think Ivan Toney had half a chance, didn't he, at one point. But aside from that, they never really got involved in the game, which is how it should be with Liverpool playing against a side that are newly promoted. They've done well, but that's how it should look, in my opinion, especially at Anfield. So, yeah, lessons learned. You're dead right. Klopp will have sat them down and said, let's talk about what they do well and let's not let them do it this time. And we did.
Yeah, the one man, I think, as well, because I've just mentioned Trent there, and I agree, for me, it's Joe Matip. I just thought he was outstanding at the weekend. With the one exception where he tried to gift them a goal, I think just to make it a bit more of a challenge. but he was one, because I think that was his worst game of the season away at Brentford. He has a real struggle in that match at times. And he was just head and shoulders our best defender. I mean, like, Virgil was just Virgil, so it's hard to compare anymore, because I don't know. Virgil van Dijk's baseline is so good that it almost, like, I kind of switch off to it. It's like, you know, like, you can become blind. So that's something that's just in your eye line for too long. But Matip was just thought he was imperious.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because away at Brentford, you're fighting against a team that, like, have just come up. And the energy and what they bring to that game is so... It's amazing. It's what makes the Premier League the Premier League. But the difference between Brentford and your solid, your West Hams, your Leicesters, who always finish mid-table and above in the Premier League, is that they can still maintain a level of professionalism and quality away from home at times. Mm-hmm. And that showed, didn't it? Like, they were unable to even replicate anything that what they did at home. Where they, I mean, I think I saw one Eder Tony one where he ran right across from Van Dijk and just nicked it off Matip's head. But that was it. That was all he had all game. Mm. Matip won everything. So did Virg. We just controlled the game better. One thing City have done this really well this year is just controlled games when they're ahead. It's one thing we haven't done. And what we just did in that game is got our goal and just didn't let Brentford anywhere near us, really. And then just sort of moved on through the gears from there.
It felt controlled, it felt measured. Now, it might not have done if we'd not managed to sneak the goal at the end of the first half. Yeah. But we do. So... whatever, you know, and that was that. It felt like that was what we needed, Dan, because we got the goals, but it was nice just to feel that measure of control, really, because I think there's a lot of anxiety that's crept in over the last few weeks because we've not been at our best.
Definitely, and obviously you look at the game since the lads have gone off to AFCON. I mean, we go 1-0 down to Shrewsbury and all of a sudden we're thinking, hang on, what's going on here? And then we're not great in the slightest against Arsenal in the Cup, despite them being out of 10 men. You don't score in that game. Suddenly we're 40 minutes into Brentford home, we haven't scored, and the anxiety is through the roof.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sat there thinking, this isn't good. Like, we're nowhere near. We're a shell of a team. You know what I mean? We've just got to find a way of playing without these lads, haven't we? And the more they play together, the more they will. Mm. And by the time they've got it right, they'll be back, so everything's sound. But at the same time, you're right, that goal just absolutely calmed everyone. But Curtis Jones on his Instagram, I think, put something like, that's more like it. And that's what it was. It was just more like it. Because like you alluded to, we just controlled the game. We didn't give them a sniff. We needed the goals. The 3 points were all that mattered from that for me.
I think we've become quite accustomed to, without realising at times, how amazing Liverpool are and how... they've got an answer for every problem, because when you're the best, you're so good at everything. You know, they're so good in transition, so good defensively, they're so good on the counter-attack, they're so good at dominating the ball, so good from set plays, etc., etc., etc. And this Liverpool team, it's weird watching them having to try and figure it out again. And the obvious thing is people say, well, you need better players, or, you know, they should have been getting... they've known these players were going away to AFCON for ages. That's all well and good, but you're never gonna actively choose to not play Salah and Mane to practice for this one. And so the fact that from Arsenal we looked at it being a bit flat, and there's different circumstances there. You know, Arsenal are defending for their lives for the vast majority of that football
no
match.
Midfield battle, because they're all in the
exactly. But the midfield and attack balance, I don't think was right, and I thought it was interesting to see them go away, go, okay, that didn't work for us, let's try this instead, and being able to see it pay dividends albeit against a lower, I guess lower quality opposition, of course, but that's something I took heart from, because again, it's just a reminder that Liverpool have got this. This is not the Liverpool of our youth, where you go, God, they need to sort this out. They need to sort this out, and they're not sorting it out. Why are they not sorting it out? It's blatantly obvious, all these problems. This does feel like it's very switched on from Liverpool, I think.
Yeah, and you know, the first 20 minutes of the game reminded me of the Coutinho era pre-Mane, in that we battered teams and couldn't score, or scored one and they'd get it back and he'd be shooting from 20 yards. I say that because obviously the relevance of the weekend, and everyone suddenly gets this nostalgia of what didn't actually happen. Yeah. Anyway, and we were huffing and puffing. We were in decent control, but we just couldn't really do anything. But what I thought was, I saw Ox suddenly start to stretch. Yeah. He started to run in behind and pull their defenders in directions they didn't want to be running. And at that point is when we started really pushing them. And I think, if I'm rightly saying, when we scored a corner, he bursts in behind, does something. I think we end up winning. We could have probably done better, I think, but he ends up winning us a corner. And it kind of epitomised what we're about, is about stretching the play, moving people around, interchanging a little bit up top. And once Ox started doing that, I felt that it opened the game up for us. We get the goal, and obviously the second half, he gets his goal. Because I didn't actually think he had the most amazing game with the ball. Mm-hmm. But I think what he gave us by being in the right midfield position or right forward position really helped us sort of get everybody else in the game. Then you see Curtis get more ball on the left-hand side. He starts doing what he does best. Yeah. Jota didn't have a great game at all. But again, he's moving around. He had a great chance to score, didn't he? Yeah. You don't do those things without the little movements from all the different front line.
Yeah, it did. It just felt like a team that had played together. It felt like you know they weren't trying to do a Salamane impression. We weren't trying to do a wild tactical shift. Mm-hmm. It all felt a lot more natural. And this is the thing, I wouldn't want to see that 11 go toe to toe with the best in Europe.
No.
And go, you know, that front three certainly go, you know, with the best in, I wouldn't want the Man City game to come with that team. Damn, but the point is we're not playing Man City. We're playing, you know, we've got Brentford, we've got Crystal Palace, and there's going to be a mismatch Arsenal team maybe to play in there as well. Cardiff to come, and then we'll see Leicester to play down potentially before we get them all back. There's enough quality there. You've got a goal scoring threat in Jota. Bobby Firmino is still amazing. Mm-hmm. And you know, hopefully with Ox, you've got someone there who can stretch it. And again, there's enough quality there. We don't need to be perfect Liverpool. We just need to be fourth good Liverpool. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, we need to be Champions League quality, not necessarily, you know, world club champions quality.
Definitely, yeah. And it's interesting because obviously, you know, we always wonder what we'll look like without Salah and Mane, because we're so heavily reliant on them, and obviously Jota's goals as well.
And more so this season than ever as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So it's actually quite important for this side moving forwards, because if we can find other ways of playing, because one of the criticisms we often get labelled with is not really having a plan B, a different plan. And this could be it, because there's no doubt about it. You mentioned there sort of trying to copy Salah and Mane. These players now can't do that. They haven't got the pace to do it. Oxlade-Chamberlain's probably the only one that comes close, if we're going to be honest. But if they can find a way of doing this and playing effectively this way, albeit against slightly lesser opposition, which we've been half lucky with, because if we had City and Chelsea in this little period, I think we'd all be fearing potentially the worst, you know. So we have been quite lucky in terms of the fixtures, but moving forward, sort of, even when the lads are back beyond this little period whereby these lads learn a different way of playing together could actually stand us in good stead moving forward.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of that Coutinho leaving thing where it's like, right, he's got off, this is us, we're the lads. And being able to get across the line without your talismanic Salah. Because there's always a danger with that, I think, Sam, where you get a guy who's so much better that it does, whether you've got this, and Liverpool have built this team ethic where there's no man more important than the system, and everyone fights together in the same direction. But we were talking about in the office yesterday about, like, Burnley are probably going to end up going down or coming close to going down this season than ever, because they've lost that, because they went and got Cornet in, who's clearly their best player, and there's all of a sudden there's just like a give it to the good lad.
Yeah.
Whereas having a couple, if and it's a big if Liverpool managed to take 6 points from the two Premier League games, they managed to get to the final of the League Cup and get a place in the fifth round of the FA Cup by the time they come back, the confidence that gives everyone else in the squad to say, we're not just Mo Salah FC.
Yeah. We can cope,
Yeah, exactly.
No, 100%. And I think it's different approaches to scoring more than anything, because Salah and Mane aren't involved in lots of the build-up play until we get to the final third. So that's not really changed, has it? We still made the same patterns in midfield, defence. Yeah. That hasn't. It's just up top. Mm. So like what I noticed the weekend was, I looked at the stats yesterday, I think we had something like 27 shots and 16 on target. That's a lot of shots.
We created the highest XG of anyone over the weekend,
well,
I think.
There you go, yeah. And obviously, and they had one shot on target or something and one went wide. And yeah. Hardly any anyway.
So it felt more because of the stupid offside rule.
Yeah, a few times on it.
Yeah, I forgot about that actually. Yeah. But one thing that did strike me is because Jota and Firmino are decent in the air, when they're in the box, we can put ball.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In mm-hmm. from Trent, etc. But what it also opens up is when you are putting balls into the box, you also open up space on the edge of the box. How many times did we shoot to Fabinho and stuff like that? But I know we didn't, and we had a couple that went over the bar, and Trent misses a sitter, doesn't he? But that it does kind of show that there is another way. If we're whipping balls into Jota and Bobby, there is that chance then that because they're dropping so deep, you've got the space on the edge of the box. So it could be that our way of scoring goals in the next couple of games is, you know, we suck them in so deep, we get space in the edge of the box to score goals, and we're capable.
And also, you know, we were much more dangerous from set plays,
yes.
And which we weren't against Arsenal at all. And no. I feel like we've dropped off. I mean, this is just one of those feelings that you have as a fan, and because you remember the, oh, get it over the first man, in the ground, which sticks with you. But we are still, I think, statistically, if we're not the best, and then we're in the top three. It's us, Chelsea and City, we're the best and all that.
Yeah.
Because super teams have that as well. Low-end teams have it, because that's what they've got to go as the go-to.
Yeah. West Ham are up there.
Exactly. And like Roy Hodgson teams, one of the only positive of the Roy Hodgson spell at Liverpool was we became quite good at set pieces because he knew
our weapon, isn't it,
exactly. Yeah. And it feels a little bit like we're having to focus a bit more on that, because when you've got Mo Salah and you can win a game at the drop of a hat, you don't need all the tools in your arsenal. Yeah. You don't need the full set of arrows in your quiver. You've got one that'll do the job, and that's what it will refresh Liverpool in that regard, and where they just go, let's find some other ways to win football.
Yeah, and that's what I mean, mate. It could be really important moving forward, because all of a sudden we don't need to just give it to Salah and let him go and do his thing. We might find different ways. But I think the set piece point is such an important one, because I've tweeted a few weeks ago about Van Dijk. We've alluded to him a minute ago. He wins everything. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't lose it. He's imperious in the air. For somebody that good in the air, he probably doesn't score that many goals. Now, whether that's down to him or the set piece delivery, which, you know, should be perfect. When you look at the way Trent and Robbo deliver balls, the corners should be better, in my opinion. But he scores on his debut, obviously, and he's scored a couple more since. But for somebody that good in the air, I'm not sure he scores that much.
I contend that if you want to win the league contend for the Champions League, you need to have one centre half who scores at least 5 goals a season. Yeah. Like every top team throughout the season, there'll be obviously
Terry and Vinicius used to do it all the time, didn't they?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Ferdinand would always bag it. Even when we had like 13, 14, Skrtel got like 7 that season.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you need to have that. And Van Dijk's got that in him. I agree. I think that's a really interesting.
Do you know what as well, though? I think
if Matip could shoot, runs.
We'd be away then, yeah.
But Matip and Konate miss too many headers.
Yeah.
Again, they're both really good defensively, but I can think about 3 or 4 this year. Konate's got there, free header, and it's over the line. He's young, But Matip's another one. The way he heads the ball, when you see most guys, and for those who are listening can't really understand this, but you kind of lean back and then thrust towards the ball. Matip kind of lets the ball hit him. Yeah. Even when he's defending, he jumps up and hits his head and bounces off. Mm. And he does that on corners, which is why you don't really see him absolutely welly the ball in off his head anymore. But so I do think that we would have a few more goals if some of these lads had scored the headers. Jota's missed a few as well.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Paul. I think there's a little run soon where we might get two or three headed corners off like six games, mm-hmm. you know, and you start to catch up with West Ham's and stuff.
And that's the thing. I think this next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I think we'll see that. It wouldn't shock me to see it. Those set pieces just be a little bit more important to our overall goal tally, because you do, you know, this is the thing that City have done, you know, and even more so this season than ever. But like you saw it last season with Gundogan just stepping up and being the main man in terms of goal scoring for them. You need to find other ways to win football matches sometimes, and you don't when it's just working. You don't need to flex that muscle quite so much. But if you want to be the complete package, and that's the difference between being a team that's going to challenge for, I say challenge, there will not be a challenge for second though, ultimately, but like, you know, be a team that's going to finish second, third, fourth, and a team that's going to be right at the business end of the season in Europe, and it needs to have everything going for them, because you can't just use it to flat track bully teams. You actually need it when you're coming up against the big. Bayern Munich, great example of that, away at the Allianz.
Yeah.
Brilliant goal from Mane, but Virgil van Dijk scores
in that 2-1. He makes it 2-1, doesn't he?
Even the Mane goal was pretty much a straight long ball, wasn't it, up to him, if you don't see much anymore either. Yeah. You know, but it could be a blessing in disguise, looking at the positive ways, this little period whereby we have to find different ways of doing it. And it's something we did when we won the league. We all remember the Firmino goal against Tottenham late on. Bullet header late on, you know what I mean, from a corner. And that sort of thing, we just haven't done that much recently because Salah's been so good the start of this season.
Well, because we haven't needed play, to. We're just so good at score, overloading teams and running them into the ground and finding ways to score goals. Yeah, well, so
we've only got realistically two more games of this, don't you? Because there's a 2 week gap and the AFCON group stage is finished today, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So the only way we don't get those two, probably Keita and Salah, back for Senegal's team doesn't look as good now. The only way we don't get them back is if they get to the semis and final. And I'll be honest with you, without going into digressing too much, I don't see them all getting there. Maybe one. So we've got a long time to get them back. So we've got two games to get through here.
Well, absolutely. And even then, the point Cardiff. As well, Cardiff, you've no rush on that. I think Cardiff's like the fourth. No rush for Cardiff in that regard. You can afford it one way or another.
Yeah.
You can afford to take a breather. And I'm also not going to jinx it in any way, shape or form, Sam. So be careful. Like, you know, we're going to end up with like a...
Salah lifting the trophy in a few weeks.
The corruption going on.
But even there, it's no fucking third, fourth base playoff between Egypt and Senegal.
Imagine Guinea in the final.
You don't even get the satisfaction of contending for the win. They've got to turn up to just this like, oh, thanks very much. Thanks for coming. Participation awards.
Yeah. No,
terrible. Absolutely terrible. Right, let's move things forward just briefly. The leaked kit cycle's begun anew, if you haven't seen it yet. It's all over Twitter and what have you, but there's a leak of what Liverpool's home shirt is going to look like, and it's basically just a red T-shirt with the Liverpool stuff on the front, as you'd expect. I can't even be asked to give an opinion one way or another, because it's impossible to see how good or bad it is. It just looks like they've tried to recreate the 2005 home shirt, which is fine. My dad will love it because it's playing a red football shirt as you can get. And in his head, all Liverpool kits should be all red and nothing else apart from, the badge should be in white and that's about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much attention you pay to these things, but it drives me to despair every year because, as I mentioned, the cycle... Every January, February, without fail, the kit will leak from somewhere. So some retailer will get it. Someone works on a factory line somewhere will get hold of one, and they'll take a really crap photo of it. Or someone will see it and relay it to someone who then will do a graphic interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Everyone will have a really split opinion on it. Because, oh, it's great to have something traditional. Oh, it's too wild for me. replaced depending on how boring or how crazy the kit is, and then we go through this, and then it'll be, then we'll see some slightly better, like, so someone will get to wear one in a changey somewhere in a factory in the Far East and take a photo of themselves, so you'll get to see it in three dimensions, and that'll create the same polarised opinions, and then there'll be a better high res shots of it, and then you'll see the pictures of the players, and then eventually you'll see them playing it, and then eventually we'll see them winning it, and it's just, and then we're here, and then it's January again.
I don't have to add a lot to that, to be honest
Fuck
with you.
Me.
No.
Why is there a tag on it?
I don't know. You can't accuse that one of being too wild, though, can you?
No,
about as plain a Liverpool shirt as you get. And I get the 05 reference. I get that your dad will like it because it is as plain as a Liverpool shirt as you get, but I can't get excited about that. Like,
no.
I can't get excited about many sort of Liverpool kit leaks because it's not something that excites me apart from the accrue one because that's just an absolute thing of beauty.
Different
story altogether. But aside from that, kit leagues aren't really for me, to be honest. Certainly not in January. There's bigger fish to fry, in my opinion.
And also, like, the truth is, like, we don't know the timelines. For all we know, they haven't even designed it yet.
Yeah. It looks like they haven't. That's a fruit of the loom.
That's someone working from home job,
I can't believe it's got so much traction. We have no idea where they're at with it, and I can't see Nike throwing that out.
To be fair, so what the general rule of thumb is, there's like a 3-year production cycle on kits. So Liverpool's kits for like 2024 to 2025 will pretty much be designed already.
I didn't know that.
Companies work to a 3-year lead time in advance so they can be signed off on and get ready. The only time that wasn't true was when the Warrior kit was just dropped in. Like, it was anyone know how to make a football shirt?
Remember that.
And that was why that home shirt looked good, but it was a horrendous actual piece of material.
I've got a belter story. I won't say his name. One of my best mates was a goalkeeper for Everton and played a few games to the reserves, and he had to model the Lecoq Sport Teeth kit once for David Moyes. True story.
Wow.
he's like 30 odd now, so when he was like a teenager.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That sounds well pervy.
Yeah, he's a massive red as well, by the way.
So you see how this kind of stuff gets out, because obviously clearly there's clicks in it all, but the point is, what you get is, and just, again, by the way, you either get a plain home shirt. If you get a plain home shirt, you get mad away or third, and the vice versa. I mean, look at this season as an example of it.
Yeah.
We got a bit of a mad home kit, we get the best away shirt, but nice, plain, simple, all that kind of stuff. So if you want mad Liverpool kits, it just means that the away kits are going to be nuts next season.
Definitely.
And then people who like plain shirts will hate mad shirts, and people who like mad shirts hate
and
plain.
There was all the stuff about the orange/burnt crimson on the collar of the home, wasn't there, last time?
There's
bound to be another one of them in the next few weeks where people divided on something. It's just the way it is.
The shorts will be white and everyone
will go,
shit. Bill Shankly tearing his grave.
I can't believe we're not wearing
Colossuses anymore.
I can't believe we're not wearing what Salah had on in GQ the other day. That's baffled me, that them orange shorts would have been a treat then.
I get it. It's like GQ. It's like, can we not just put them in the shorts? Spend a lot of money getting them that shirt. Just get them the shorts. And the socks, the boss shorts and socks. Anyway, we're going to be talking about a bit more about Mohamed Salah. We're going to take another very short break talking about the FIFA Best Awards. After this. Hey everyone, we got a fantastic competition prize for you this month, and it is this: an incredibly limited edition signed Jordan Henderson print, framed, beautiful, celebrating his 10 years at Liverpool Football Club. There are 25 of these in the entire world, and we are offering one up if you are a subscriber at Club Legend tier on Red Men Plus. If you go over to theredmentv.com, sign up as a Club Legend, not only do you gain access to our incredible suite of Liverpool streaming content, from documentaries, features, interviews, and pre and post match content, you are automatically entered into our draw to win this, which we will be streaming live at the end of the month. So get involved. January's prize is this incredible, unique piece of Liverpool history, and you can have it in your house to hang on your wall if you join as a Club Legend subscriber on Red Men Plus. Yes, a wonderful competition prize for you, as mentioned by that fella there. There's 25 of those in the world, and one of them's up for grabs to our Club Legend subscribers over on Red Men Plus. If you do head over to Red Men Plus now, we've got the Around the League show available, where the lads had an Evertonian on to talk about Rafa's sacking. And just for people who are watching on YouTube, you've got the laptop, Tom? Thank you. Yeah, if you want to go, if you're an existing subscriber and you want to upgrade to Club Legend, just click the My Account button and then you can upgrade from Club Captain to Club Legend and you'll be entered into that competition. But yeah, everyone at every tier over on Redmen Plus gets access to the Around the League show there. So do go and check that out. You can get it in podcast form as well. So if you just want to have us on the go, then you can do that. All of our studio-based content is available in podcast version. So yes, plenty to keep you entertained, even if the game on Thursday gets called off, which it probably will, because, you know, Arsenal, who have no sense of... I'm not going to be too dramatic on this, but no sense of shame. But, like, honestly, like, it's been one of my most enjoyable moments is seeing Arsenal fans go, oh, all these people kicking off because Arsenal are getting games. Like, it's because Arsenal are massive. It's like, you, what? Yeah. What?
No sense of irony. That's
no
for
sense
sure.
of irony yeah, whatsoever. Yeah. Right, let's talk about the FIFA Best Awards because we will be doing a build-up show for whatever reason to follow after this. The FIFA World 11 was done, which is kind of what I want to talk about most, to be perfectly honest. And it is as follows. Gigi Donnarumma in goal, which I think was a shoo-in, really, wasn't he, for that. A back three of Alaba, Bonucci and Diaz. I mean, Alaba, I'm not 100%. Okay, yeah. Fine. Bonucci, I get it. Diaz, get it. Midfield three of De Bruyne, I mean, okay. Jorginho and Kante. Fine. They were pretty obvious picks, I guess, in their own sort of way. Maybe, I don't know, maybe less so De Bruyne. 100%. Even though I think he's
had a strange year, hasn't he?
But then the formation is 3-3-4. I genuinely thought I'd read this the wrong way around. So it's a front four, in no particular order, I guess, of Lewandowski, Messi, Ronaldo and Haaland. And it actually made more sense in another version. I saw where they put Messi and Ronaldo on the wings. slightly more sense because they both played there at some point in their careers. But it means no Mohamed Salah. And I mean, look, we're going to continue to have these. Well, this is pretty much the end of this, isn't it? But we've had these conversations all season long, Dan, about Salah and how he keeps being overlooked for this thing. And I get it because I think it's about the stage on which you're playing. And Liverpool had a mad season last year. Yep. We all know I don't really want to open those wounds up again. But, you know, Salah's wasn't contending for the Champions League final. He wasn't contending for the Premier League title, domestic cups. Mm-hmm. On the international stage, he didn't get an opportunity to shine because they had the summer off mercifully.
Yeah.
So I do get it, but also, I don't know, I want to see him recognised, but also I'm torn because I also really like the fact that people keep snubbing Salah for stuff and he keeps getting better as a result.
100%, yeah, that's sort of the upside to it all, isn't it? But speaking of shit shows, that side there is an absolute is an absolute abomination, isn't it? Like, you cast aside some of them as being, yeah, fair enough, and I think if we really dug into it, I'm not sure some of them were fair. I'm not even entirely sure on Kante myself, but we'll move on.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Salah, he keeps getting overlooked for stuff, doesn't he? And like you say, it seems to spur him on. Like, even when Liverpool were struggling last season, we all remember that tweet, social media post, whereby he said, I'll do everything in my power to put this right.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the attitude he has. And every time he gets overlooked for anything, he seems to come back stronger from it. So that's really good news from our point of view. In terms of, like, a recognition perspective, it's just ludicrous now. It's almost become laughable that he just gets overlooked for things time and time again.
Yeah.
The international stage is probably a really important point. I think that's one of the reasons people say he wants to do well now in the African Cup of Nations, because he probably does want to win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
And if he was to win the AFCON with Egypt, it might give him a bit of a leg up on that. But his numbers last season were still really good for us, and his numbers start of this season, obviously, an absolute farce. So, listen, it's crazy he gets overlooked all the time, especially when, you know, it seems every single statistic from the Premier League is only Salah has done this more. And only the man's unbelievable, but I don't care too much about international football or what he gets as an individual, as long as he's doing it for us. So,
I think it just says Liverpool and how Liverpool perform this season is going to be an important part of this, Sam, because, you know, I think you were on a show when we were talking about the Ballon d'Or and all that kind of stuff, how, like, Messi at least won, like, the Spanish Cup last season
and topped all the charts, like Salah.
And you know, he finally gets the Copa America, doesn't he? And those kind of things. You know, so it wasn't prime Messi. It wasn't Messi doing Messi things, but just being in the frame, having those photographs of footballers with silverware stands in the mind. I always think that footballers become the biggest footballers by osmosis.
Yeah,
and like how I think, for example, like Virgil van Dijk, I think his PR team need to get him on some more billboards because everyone's forgotten that he's the best defender on the planet.
Yeah.
Because we've become quite accepting of how good he is. He needs to be reminded, needs to be more adverts where he's filmed from a really low angle so he looks like a giant. You know what I mean? Don't need like mad Dutch dramas on Netflix where he's getting punched in the face. Don't need that. I want him getting punched in the face and no selling it. You know what I mean? I want, you know, people need to be reminded of these things because, like, and Trent, Virgil, Alisson and Mo Salah, this time next year, when the award season comes to an end, they should be in absolutely every single team. And I would be saying that to them, going, this is on you, because they've got the ability to dictate how far Liverpool go in all these major tournaments as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, the team, I'd not seen the FIFA Pro 11 until we spoke about it earlier. You're right, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, that's not a football team, is it? It's just 11 players.
Yeah. And to be fair, these are all voted for by the players. Yeah. Usually one of my least favourites. For the X, normally four fans by the fans.
The players,
because I used that for Redmen 11 years ago. Now everyone uses it.
But they don't vote on the system, do they? Like, there's no way.
No.
And if they do, none of them are putting this. So they just ignored whoever was left and right back. They don't exist. We're just going to put three lads in centre back. Man, that's, I mean, the Salah thing's interesting. You look across the team, De Bruyne shouldn't be in it. He's a great football player, but 2021, he was nowhere near as good as he was in 2020. So there's other players, but again, it's the PR machine. He's got, Man City have done well for that recently. Diaz, definitely. The front four, I mean, why is Cristiano Ronaldo in it? Like, I can see why Donnarumma's in it and Jorginho and Bonucci, because Italy won the Euros. France won the Nations League. Now, whether we think it's important or not, somebody does somewhere. He won the Champions League. So I can see why Kante's in it. Why isn't Mbappe not in it? He scored the winning goal in the final of the Nations League, and he scores loads of goals, PSG. Ronaldo, I mean, Salah didn't deserve the Ballon d'Or. He may not have deserved to win the FIFA, but he definitely deserves to be in the 11.
Yeah.
There's definitely
a thing by which, though, because we had this with the Football Content Awards, so I was asked to be a judge, and I went through like the voting panel, and I had no fucking clue who half of them were. So like a lot of them, I just abstained. When I didn't know, I abstained, because I thought, I'm not going to waste a vote on someone who I don't know. But there does, because a lot of it just comes down to a popularity contest. You see a name that you recognise, and you go, go ahead. And who do I like more? So I think it's... This comes to footballers are fucking idiots, and so they just need, and there just needs to be a gradual acceptance of all this. And when you're sat down watching the Champions League final, and you see one of those players starting on that, because these lads are not going to be watching games week in week out, but they all will watch the big games of football. Yeah. So be in the big games of football, showcase your talent there, and even if you're not, sometimes just being there is enough.
Yeah.
You know, because again, you know, look at Man City. The constant complaint about Man City is their players get overlooked for stuff because being at Man City isn't as big enough, don't put enough eyes on your product.
But they
got to a Champions League final, so that will just do it for you.
But the first year De Bruyne won the PFA, when we won the league, he wasn't even in the top two. It was Henderson or Mane, wasn't it? And then Hendo got given the football rights just after lockdown. But because there was that big gap, everybody forgot how good Mane had been all year till March. And De Bruyne smashed the last nine games and won PFA Player of the Year. That just shows how stupid they are. Like you say, they don't sit back and go, let's look across the season. They go, ooh, he's flying at the minute. He's boss. He is boss. Go for him. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Pep's like that in the media all the time, crying for it. So.
And we have stuff like the Raheem Sterling basically openly admitting he would never vote for a Liverpool player again, didn't he? Pretty much. So you have stuff like that going on as well. Yeah, so it's all a bit.
There's loads of politicking that goes on behind the scenes and all this stuff. But yeah, the point is now Liverpool's goal for likes of Salah and Trent and stuff. I think Trent England snub has absolutely propelled him onto new levels. Yeah. I mean, he's on the record for assists for a defender in the Premier League is 13, set by Trent Alexander-Arnold, and he's on 10.
And he broke his last one, which was set by Trent.
Exactly. He's on 10 in January. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's already on 13 in all comps, you know, and so he will continue to press on like that, and he will continue to get better and better and better. And the same with Salah. Van Dijk coming back from an injury. By the time we get to the end of the season, hopefully Liverpool are in as many of those conversations as possible. Mm-hmm. And as I say, we should be sat here. We should be doing periodic shows next season when we're going, it's another big award. Yeah. Here's another litany of Liverpool players players who were up for it because they should be, because go rewind the clock to when we won the Champions League and it was like, did we break the record for the most nominations?
That big picture, isn't it?
And we had the most ever in the FIFA 11, I believe, from an English club.
Yeah. So and Liverpool are not worse than that, and those players are not worse than those than when they were picked in those. So yeah, we got a great super chat in here from John Henry, who clearly who just has the caveat with "I own Liverpool" as his name, which I imagine is basically on his business cards. By the way,
John wears me wages, lad. Yeah. Everyone says you pay my wages, so you know, sort me out.
And John has taken the time out of his busy schedule of wining and dining London in Boston to super chat and say, next season I'm selling Salah, Mane and Bobby and replacing them with Ashley Young, Nani and Mitrovic in a free transfer. This is the long term plan. Brilliant. So you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. It's a world exclusive from our paymaster John W. Henry, who's just chucked in 100 squiggles there as a super chat, which will keep the lights on for another couple of minutes.
I'm gutted he didn't say Solanke, to be honest. You know, he's in form.
Mitrovic is on fire, to be fair. 25 goals in the championship.
Ronaldinho Goat here with the super chat saying LFC should do more. Bundesliga was begging for Lever. Yeah, I mean, and Lewandowski, to be fair, I've got no issue with him winning the best award because he deserves to win it.
He does because
he's done it. He's not just done it, but he's been doing it and winning shit as well over the last couple of years. And there is a point where it was an absolute travesty that it was cancelled the year when he was the best player on the
planet. Well, he won this last year.
Yeah.
But he didn't win the Ballon d'Or. Yeah. So this is his second one.
Yeah. And fair play.
The Premier League don't do anything for clubs, though, do they? It's all for one.
No, because they want to feel like they're giving Burnley more of a chance, which you know what I mean? Which is just crazy, isn't it? Like, great, good on them. But yeah, anyway, that is what it is. Hopefully, again, it will be a more successful year for Mo Salah on the pitch and for Liverpool, therefore, as a result. Thank you to everyone who's joined us for the show today. It's been very good indeed. We have got a build-up show to come for a game which might not happen. So you may never see that show, but we're going to record it nevertheless. That will be live on YouTube and it will be going out on Spotify, Acast and all those good podcast networks as well, so make sure you tune in for that. And of course, do check out Red Men Plus, which is our Liverpool streaming service. We have got extra shows. I'm going to be sitting down with Neil Jones to get some JNO insight in and around transfers, etc., etc. There is the Around the League show, as mentioned. There's the debate show. Chris is doing a stat show and a whole host more. We've got documentaries, features and interviews as well. So yeah, if you want just Liverpool cultural content as well as more from Red Men, then head over to theredmentv.com and join Red Men Plus. And yeah, as mentioned earlier, if you become a club legend, you will definitely be in with a chance of winning a signed Jordan Henderson print. Right, whew, that's a lot of words. Thank you so much for that, gents. And yeah, have a wonderful afternoon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.